This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
Caroline, you're so welcome onto the show. You've worked with so many people at key turning points in their careers. Thank you so much for joining me. It's lovely to have you on the show.
No, it's all. Thank you for having me.
Now, Caroline, you were so well versed in helping people with their careers, but what are some of the most common things that you hear from people when they come to you feeling stuck or a little bit unsure?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's normally three main things. First one is either going, kind of, they're right at the start of their careers going, I don't know how to choose what I want to do from here, because whilst the world we live in is amazing, there's so much choice. And so they sit in a place of going, I don't know how to kind of move that forward. The other one might be that they go, actually, you know, I chose a path and I really like it, but I don't know how to kind of be better at it and kind of make it work better for me. And then the third one, which I would say is becoming increasingly common, is people go, I've started on this one path, you know, I chose it for a variety of reasons. I'm a few years into it and suddenly it doesn't feel like it's the right fit for me, and kind of navigating what to do in that moment where you go, oh, actually, am I on the right track? Mm-hmm. And what to do with that from there.
What are the most common things that you hear from people when they are, I think that they just can't figure out where they're supposed to go? Because it's an unnerving feeling of not being 100% sure. Maybe you like some parts of one job, more parts of another, and it's really hard to definitively decide what you'd like to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, isn't it? I think we are spoiled for choice, which is a brilliant thing. You know, I think when we're entering careers now, we have more opportunities than we've ever had before, and that is wonderful. The flip side of that is often, as you say, people get caught between going, oh, that bit sounds good, but this bit sounds less great, or this bit of that part sounds amazing, but I don't know if that's something I'd want to do. Yeah. And we often get kind of a lot of feedback from people going, I don't know if this is something that I want to do. And so I find it hard to choose anything at this point, because let's say there are so many options to then navigate your way through. It can feel overwhelming, particularly if you've not been in the working world before, or you've not been in it for a kind of a really long time and you're at the start of your career.
Yeah. How do you manage if, say, let's just say you start a new job and maybe you've walked into a toxic environment and, you know, you're fresh and you're like, oh my gosh, this is my first job or my second job and this is amazing. But maybe you've walked into somewhere where, you know, the morale might not be great. And that's quite hard to navigate. Have you got any tips for anybody like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, it can be a really destabilizing moment, isn't it? When you come in and you are ready and raring to go and you end up in a space, you go, actually, this doesn't necessarily fit with what I thought it was going to be. And when that happens, there's often kind of a few different things we think about. The first is thinking about, what is it that I can control? Mm-hmm. So what is it that I can change? You know, is that about how I relate with my colleagues and how I do the work? Is it about kind of having conversations with people of going, actually, you know, this bit is working really well for me, but this bit isn't, you know, how can we influence that? And really understanding what sits within your remit of control. The next thing is then thinking about, are there any things that you can influence? So if you've got a team that maybe aren't functioning as well as we want them to together, you know, if we've got a process that's not really working and you can sit there as the fresh set of eyes and go, why are we doing it like that? Mm-hmm. You know, why do we work in this way? What are things that you can do to influence the way the workplace is set up? That might be kind of having suggestions of ways to do things. It might be kind of going, actually, now that I've kind of, you know, either I've worked somewhere else or I've just, you know, have a different perspective, put my hand up to go, actually, this might change in that space. But the other thing that's really important, particularly if we're working in what can be kind of a toxic or a combative or kind of a negative working environment, is also having that conversation with yourself of going, what's outside of my control? You know, because I think we, when we're experiencing our work, we take a lot of responsibility on it for ourselves. We hold the responsibility. And actually, sometimes a lot of things you might be experiencing in your work is because of the system in which you're operating. And so it's important sometimes to go, actually, what is just a company thing? What's an organizational thing? What's a team thing? And that I can't influence. And therefore, I in turn have to understand how I want to relate to that. And you might, in that scenario, go, actually, are these things that I can tolerate? If yes, then it's a boundary question. And how do you work on kind of building those boundaries for yourself? And if it's not, then it might be time to look for something new, which in itself is a big thought to come to terms with.
Yeah. Do you think we've changed as staff members and in the workplace, where you become a little bit more vocal about what you are willing to accept and what you're willing to not accept?
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of the research has studied in how much that has changed since kind of post the pandemic. So looking at kind of these last 5 years, the way we work has drastically shifted. And, you know, part of that is attributed to, because work ended up in our own homes, you know, so many of us work from home. So many of us saw a much closer interaction between how work interplays with our everyday life. I mean, hard to avoid it, you know, it was in our bedrooms, it was in our living rooms, you know, we were balancing it alongside everything else. What that's meant is that we've seen a bit of a shift in attitude in terms of how we relate to our work. As you say, it's a lot less now of that kind of, right, put up, shut up, I'm lucky to be here. And actually, people having a greater sense of kind of agency with their own lives are going, actually, what do I want for myself? And how does work fit into that? And if work isn't fitting into that, being, I think, a lot more proactive and a lot more confident in being able to go, actually, this doesn't work for me. What can I do to change that? And how can I influence that for myself?
Yeah, yeah. If somebody is a graduate listening, how can they stand out if they don't have much work experience?
Absolutely. And funny, it's when I talk to graduates all the time, that is one of the biggest questions, because it's so hard, right? You're reading job specs where they go, we want 2 to 3 years experience. And you're there as a recent grad going, how? You know, how do I do that? I think when it comes for kind of graduates looking at the job market, the most important thing for them to remember is this quite simple formula, but very effective one, which is you plus your want to be in the sector or industry that you're aiming for equals you being an interesting candidate. And so when it comes to you, you will, through even just through the process of studying and things like that, have gained a lot of skills that are really transferable to the workplace. When it comes to gaining experience, that fits into that second bucket, which is you'll want to be there. And so when it comes to gaining experience, particularly for graduates, if we're in a place where we go, I don't have a lot of experience, it's then about how do I make that experience for myself. So what that can look like is different things. So we can use some examples in there of, say you wanted to be a designer, for example, you might be sitting there going, I need to create a portfolio. It is unlikely that until you've got that portfolio, someone's going to offer you paid experience. But you doesn't mean that you don't have experience. It doesn't mean that you can't create experience. So what that might look like is that you've got to create your own fake briefs. You know, think of that new spot that's opened up in town. Imagine they were briefing you to do all their design.
Yes.
Create your own experience. If you're really interested in a topic, go and do some courses on it. You know, get into kind of podcasts on it. Go to events, you know, really demonstrate your want to be there, and you can create your own experience without having to have someone else hand that to you. And that can really make you stand out as a candidate.
Brilliant. What is the best way to start over if you're moving into a completely different industry, or even if somebody is thinking about switching careers? When do they know it's really time to make the leap?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll take your second question first.
Yeah.
There are three things I think you should always be aware of. The first one is, the first sign that it's time to change something is if that role or that career or the job that you're in, that is having some sort of negative effect on your mental well-being or your physical well-being, because ultimately you are the most important thing over the job at any point. So we always want to be looking after you. Second signal that we always look out for is thinking about your experience in the job itself. You know, if you are feeling disengaged with it, if you're not showing up as the person that you were when you started this job, you know, if you are feeling like you can't be bothered to do it. We have a lot of that dialogue around the quiet quitting. You know, if you are feeling like this just isn't part of you anymore, and your experience of the job on the day to day is becoming a struggle, that can be a good signal of it. And the third one is to think about when it doesn't align with what you want in life. So, you know, who we are when we start our careers is very different to who we are 3 years in, 5 years in, 10 years in, 20 years in. Like, we weirdly give ourselves permission to change in the rest of our lives. We expect ourselves to change.
Yeah.
But actually, we often don't afford ourselves the same grace when it comes to our career. And so if you're looking at your work and going, actually, this really fit who I was at 21, but at, you know, 25, 28, 35, it doesn't. And I want different things from my life, then it might be a sign that your work needs to pivot or shift to make that happen. And to your first point around, you know, how do you start over if that's required? I think an unspoken thing we don't talk about in career change is that a career change can take up to 2 years
And part of that is because sometimes when we're pivoting into something new, there is a need to start lower down than where we are at the moment. And there can be some real practical parts of this. You know, there's a bit of kind of getting your head around that. But also when it comes to starting over, if you need to, my best advice would be to plan for that to happen. And I mean, even just in a pure financial sense, because often when we're starting over, that comes with a salary change. And that's okay. And that's manageable if you've done the work to, you know, maybe create yourself a little buffer pot to kind of tide yourself over as you go through that process. Often we find with clients, if we can adopt a proactive approach at planning for that transition, it makes the idea of starting over feel a lot less scary and a lot less extreme, I guess.
Definitely. Caroline, I'd love to invite you back again because I think you're a wealth of knowledge. And if people, if they are feeling like maybe they've just graduated from college, they're looking for their first time job, or even if they are somebody who's feeling a bit stuck, I think you've got so many amazing, amazing tips and tricks for them. But Caroline, if anybody wants to find out more, if they want to check out your resources online or learn a little bit more, where's the best place they can go?
Yeah, for sure. So a couple of options. If you want to go to the website, I run a career coaching organization called What Happens Now Coaching. So you can look on the website there. And then it is at whathappensnow.co across all socials. So that's TikTok, Instagram and YouTube.
Brilliant. Caroline, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. We'll be looking forward to having you back on the show very soon. We have a wonderful evening and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.